You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
David Anthony Burke is facing the most serious charges the Los Angeles County DA's office can bring. That David, D4VD. First degree murder, special circumstances, a possible death sentence. His defense team says he didn't cause Celeste's death, and that they've said it in language that sounds like they already know what the evidence actually shows, which is interesting. We do not. Fighting the charges is heavy in a case this public with a 14-year-old victim. It's a different kind of war that they're walking into. Blair Burke's statement, which is David's attorney, saying he's innocent in a vague sense, but he did not cause her death. That's the specifics of what the verbiage is. If the defense already knows the cause of death from sealed autopsy findings, which they probably do, then they're confident that it helps them. Bob Mata, defense attorney, is with us to help break all this down. Bob, what kind of alternative explanation could that language be setting up there, that he did not cause her death? Not he's innocent, he did not cause her death from a defense standpoint.
I mean, it's very carefully worded, right? So I think when they're saying he didn't cause her death, they're saying it wasn't by his hand specifically. Mm-hmm. I think that he was the one who was he was the architect of the murder, though. So meaning that somebody else did the dirty work. But much like in any case where if you hire a hitman, you didn't actually cause the death per se, is mm-hmm. ends up being the person who committed the crime and actually killed the person. But you're just as responsible under the eyes of the law as the person who pulled the trigger or used the knife, whatever the mode of the murder was. So it's interesting, you know. And the other part of it is kind of the premeditation aspect of it. And you know, like lay people, a lot of times I think confuse what premeditation mm-hmm. might mean, thinking that you really have to be planning this thing out for an extended period of time. You know, that's just not the case with the law. I mean, it has been well established that premeditation can form in seconds.
Yeah. Well, so essentially, if it went down kind of the way we're reading the tea leaves, or the way it's being described, that she went into the house on the 23rd, I believe, and then never came back out, that she's dead because she was a threat to his image and his career, because the tea may spill to everybody about the relationship that was going on. That in itself, having all of those pieces built together, does that add up to you? Does that make sense that all this could truly be what took place here in this situation between the two of them that night? That in the conversation, she said something to the effect of, well, I'll expose you. I'm just throwing randoms out here. And then he made a quick calculation, and that was premeditation. That calculation of, well, if she's going to do that, I should get rid of her. That would be premeditation, wouldn't it?
Oh, 100%. Well, yeah. And look at it this way. I mean, we don't know kind of the course of how this played out.
Yeah.
You know, this played out over months.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, she was gone for a long time. And frankly, lying in wait in and of itself is a form of premeditation.
Yeah.
If the prosecutors can show that David invited Celeste into his home knowing what was going to happen at the end of the day, that's premeditation. You know what I mean? Because like if he invited her in initially, you know, without her, like maybe there was some kind of threat of an outcry, like earlier on. And he's like, oh, shit. He's like, I got to handle this. And he invites her into the house knowing, look, I can't, like, invite her into my house. And then, like, the next day she's dead because that seems pretty sus. You know, so he's like, instead, I'm gonna bring her into the fold. I'm going to have her stay with me. And then, you know, one day she's going to show up dead somewhere else. Like, in his mind.
Does she ever even need to have made a threat of I'm going to expose you? I mean, it would be pretty common knowledge to David that if word got out that he was doing inappropriate things with a child, that would probably end his career. It doesn't necessarily need a message from the victim going, hey, by the way, this might destroy you. If he just he knows this, anyone would know this, that could be the cause and effect of this sort of scenario, of this situation, that he's allegedly having this relationship with this girl. She doesn't have to say boo. Could it just be at some moment in time he weighs the risk and goes, my album's about to come out, I got a world tour that's coming up, the last thing I want is for this kind of information to drop. And he just makes the decision one day of, like, she's too much of a liability, she loves him, everything's great, maybe there's, like, nothing that she says that she's gonna expose him, but he just knows damn well people will figure out what's going on and that will destroy him. Just him connecting those dots, is that enough to describe those charges?
Yeah, I think ultimately it is. It's not optimal. I mean, you'd rather have it the other way because it's more compelling. You know, but this kind of, like, dovetails back into what Robin was talking about with, like, you know, your Diddy or Kanye, where they have huge money, you know, because, like, those guys typically handle these types of issues with money. You know, they pay people off to keep quiet, you know, and then they continue to pay them off to keep them quiet. This, as we've discussed, I don't think was really an option for him because he didn't have that kind of money. So ultimately, though, at the end of the day, I don't think that they need any kind of actual proof of an outcry because they can make the argument, you know, exactly the argument that I just made. Him paying her off wasn't the option. The only option he really had was to get rid of her.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be an interesting challenge for the prosecution on this, and I'm going to try to channel a little bit of my inner Bob now on defense side, and that is, you know, there's no reps of really crazy behavior. And granted, I know music industry and everything, but I mean, when I try to do all the research on everyone in this circle, to go from it, to my optic, they're going from 0 to 100 on healthy interactions, healthy-ish, you know, with this up-and-coming star, to murder, death. I think, you know, I'm just put myself in, you know, projecting forward. If they don't plead out and it's on a jury and they're trying to show premeditation and the prosecution's saying, I mean, they got to overcome for a jury beyond reasonable doubt with everyone that everyone that was involved in this in a circle had a clean record. There's been no prior charges, no history of violence recorded, as we know yet, at least as I know from my research, to all of a sudden they want to murder her to protect the image.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a stretch unless there's more in there that they can throw in there, like with text messages and things like that, because from the optic I see right now, it still looks like an accidental, stupid 20-year-old dumb shit going on and them trying to cover it up, because it's hard behaviorally for me to see why they would take that action, and they thought it was in their best interest when a lot of people knew she was going to this house, seeing him, and that they thought it was a great idea. Granted, prefrontal lobe is not fully formed yet, but someone along that path said it's a great idea to kill her.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're putting logic into it.
I said that's why you never know.
Which I appreciate, man. But I mean, you make a great point at the same time. But, you know, a lot of times in these situations, and like you said, we're not talking about a fully developed prefrontal cortex yet. And, you know, you're dealing with like a bunch of guys that are in the same boat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where they're not sitting there as like kind of a, you know, mastermind think tank in terms of how to handle this situation. they're a bunch of kids for, you know, lack of
which I think makes a great point too, Bob, is that because I don't think any one individual would be capable of this. It would actually have to be a group mentality of collective stupid that yep. said this was a great idea. And so I think it's hard to imagine just one charge. I mean, not one charge, multiple charges. It's one person being guilty of being involved in this just because it's, and also, I mean, just the stats on dismembering a body requires at least two people as well.
100%. And you're exactly right. And that goes back to that conversation we were having about, you know, people flipping, you right. know, and how is that going to sit with the public? How is that going to sit with the jury in terms of, all right, they decided to hang it on the dude with the dough, but, you know, we've got a crew like an entourage,
right.
you know, that's basically walking on this thing because they all flipped, even though it's pretty clear they all had a hand on it or in this thing.
Right.
And, you know, to me, the biggest problem for the state in this case is going to be the decomposition of the body.
Yeah.
You know, because that ultimately they're not going to be able to tell that jury exactly how she died.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was strangulation, totally. Blunt force, I mean, poison, they just don't know,
right.
you know, and they're not going to be able to. So, I mean, ultimately at the end of the day, they have to prove that she died unlawfully, you know, and that he right. caused it and that, you know, that he had formed the intent to do it before he did it. You know, so that it wasn't a heat of the moment type thing. So
it's definitely it's going to be digital, man. It's
got to be
there, I think.
It looks or like you said, somebody flipped.
Yeah,
like,
combination.
You know what I mean? That's like to me, that's more important than the digital evidence.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because yes, I mean we see it every day on social media. People do stupid shit. You see people filming their own crimes all the time. I mean, it's like unbelievable. I'm like, what is that dude doing, man?
Well, the digital gave him who to talk to and gave him the weak links to attack first.
Right.
And so that's where it gave you the leakage of, all right, we need to go for this guy, and this guy that they would otherwise been completely unaware of. You know, anytime you're trying to learn the secrets of any nation, you know, and you're trying to recruit a spy or flip someone like in some of the work I did, the easiest thing is not to try to recruit the spy. You recruit the guy taking out the trash because they're actually carrying out the shit that everyone actually knows and everyone
right.
totally they're oblivious to everyone. You know, right. they're invisible. So you go for the invisible people first
always.
To that entourage.
Always. And I mean, the reality of that situation, again, that is the easiest flip in the history of flipping because yep. you're dealing with young guys that are like, your life hangs in the balance right here. Like whatever you decide to do in this moment in time is going to set your course for the rest of your days. And you have a choice and your choice is to go down with the ship and that ship is sinking, or you can help us.
And with an LA homicide detective with 20, 30, sometimes 40 years of reps of these types of interviews going against a 20-year-old who it's their first time, I wonder who's going to come out ahead on the interview strategy.
I'm wondering about this because it feels like the defense of David is already somewhat in a corner by the way that they're verbing things. Basically, it's bad, but it's not that bad is kind of what I think they may be facing if they end up in a trial here at some point. Aside from David pleading guilty, which I don't foresee that happening, is there a world here, Bob, where there may be some sort of a plea deal reached? Obviously, there's so many more things that need to happen before we even get there. But just kind of predicting the future as best we can with the blocks that we have in our playground. Is there a world where that could take place here, where maybe he would plead to some lesser charges? Would the DA even offer that? Would they even want that? Or if they're going through already and grandstanding the way that they are saying, we got all this, would they even want to go that? Or is it, no, we're taking this to court, you're going down. Either you admit to it all or we're taking you all the way down ourselves.
The easy answer to that is, we don't know until the defense attorney sees the evidence.
Yep.
You know, because I mean, that's when you know what they've got.
Sure.
Because at this point, it's all just grandstanding by both sides. States out there saying we've got a slam dunk case and defense saying, well, my guy didn't do it. Good luck proving it. And, you know, once the discovery starts flowing in and you start to see what they have, that's when you start having a serious conversation with your client. You know, I mean, if it looks like they have the ability to be able to prove this case up in a way that is going to convince a jury that he did this beyond a reasonable doubt, then you're having a very real conversation with your client and saying, look, you know, you're in trouble here, mm-hmm. you know, and you need to really think about it. Do you want me to go and try to get them to take the death penalty off the table in order to spare your life? Or do you want to go in and fight it? If, you know, the state is of the position that they're not going to budge on the death penalty, well, then they're going to go to trial on it, because at that point, your job becomes less about, you know, proving innocence or guilt. It becomes about saving your client's life in terms of the death penalty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're going to put the fight up. So I don't know. I mean, it just depends on what they have on them, you know, yeah. It's kind of a fascinating case in that sense, because you really just don't know how they were able to build the case because of the condition of the body. You know what I'm saying? And like, you don't really even know when she died, you know? So it's like, you've got that thing, like, where if they're going to come in and say, well, that happened the night of, well, how the hell do you know? Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to prove that up? Is your medical examiner going to be able to come in and prove the time of death? And they're not going to be able to. Right. You know, just because they don't know.
Again, if the digital, pure speculation, we don't know, but they have the date now. They're saying the 23rd or something of when in the house, didn't come out. I'm going to guess it must be digital. There must be something digitally.
And also the Tesla's data.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to guess there's something there that gives them a much better timeline on what took place by the reactions and the communications of those around her in those moments. That's going to be real fascinating.
It'll probably all be after the fact shit.
Yeah,
you
true.
Know what I'm saying? Like, not the planning and the execution of the execution, but really the how do we get rid of the body type stuff? Like, where are you at now? What are we going to do? Did you go get all the stuff that happened after it, which really kind of makes for a stronger case for the you know, like the mutilation of human remains, false statements, tampering with evidence type charges. Mm-hmm. Like, even if they're not able to nail him on the homicide itself, which remains a possibility because of the issues of, you know, that we've been talking about with just the decomposition of the body and you know, the ability to kind of pinpoint a time in which it happened, are going to be serious hurdles that the state's going to have to overcome. But at the end of the day, he's not walking on all of it. It's kind of like that before the Robert Durst, you know, they started nailing him and he had that case down in wherever it was in Texas, and they couldn't get him on the homicide. And he basically was like, yeah, you know, I was around the body, but they got him on the mutilation of human remains, you know what I mean? And that was the only thing that they could convict him on, because it was very similar circumstances. In that case, the condition of the body was just so deteriorated that they couldn't make heads or tails of when the person died, how they died, none of it, you know. And ultimately, at the end of the day, that causation aspect in terms of the homicide charge is something that they have to prove up.
Interestingly, I just looked it up as we were talking about it. Teslas do record the opening and closing of the frunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think they record if you touch the damn thing.
If you breathe. How many breaths you took. Did
you current sperm count.
Another lesson of killers. If you're going to murder someone, don't put it in a super vehicle that's going to record everything you do.
Yeah. Don't pick the vehicles of the future. That's not a good choice. Go with a Pinto or something like that. You know, go with the Geo Metro. Those work.
Acer.
A Gremlin.
Yeah.
Your all AMC vehicles.
Showing our age right there.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in, and do press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.